News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
The Lord Mayor of Dublin, Ray McAdam, has invited the former US President Barack Obama to formally accept the freedom of the city during his visit to the city in September. However, the Irish anti-war movement is considering a protest against the honour. We're going to speak to Scott Lucas in just a minute, but Jim Roach, PRO of the Irish anti-war movement. Good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on.
Why are you opposed to this in theory, Jim?
Well, in theory, we think it's highly inappropriate to be offering such an honour to any US president at the moment. And if we look at Obama's legacy, in terms of foreign policy, it's pretty horrific, actually. And there's an awful lot of willful forgetfulness that goes on once a new president gets on board or a new war starts. But let me remind your listeners of some of the things that Obama did. He increased the use of drone warfare, for example, in Afghanistan, spreading it into Pakistan and other countries. And, according to the U.S. Brookings Institute at the time, the rate of civilian deaths to militants due to drone attacks was 10 to 1. There was a horrific attack on 21st of April 2011, a single drone attack in Mir Ali in Northwest, and killed many civilians, including 4 women and 5 children. Really interesting work done by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism. And a short quote, if I may, Obama also began an air campaign targeting Yemen. His first strike was a catastrophe. Commanders thought they were targeting al-Qaeda, but instead hit a tribe with cluster munitions, killing 55 people, 21 were children, 10 of them under 5,
okay.
12 were women, 5 of them pregnant.
So for that reason, you think Barack Obama is not deserving of it?
Sorry?
For that reason, you think Barack Obama is not deserving of the freedom of Dublin?
One of the reasons. There's a whole lot of other things. I mean, his role in the suppressing the Arab revolutions, his failure to close the Guantanamo Bay Center, the NATO bombing of Libya, his increase in defense spending. But I think the drone warfare is a particular one. I mean, according to the Bureau, there were 563 attacks under his 2 terms compared to 57 under George Bush's terms.
It is undeniable that drone warfare increased under Barack Obama. But Scott Lucas, professor of U.S. and international politics at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. Scott, do you agree with Jim that Obama's record is, if I could use the phrase, checkered? Would you agree?
Oh, I've got mixed feelings about Barack Obama's approach to foreign policy. I think that he should have drawn down the U.S. military in Afghanistan rather than increasing it. I definitely agree that the use of drones was highly questionable. And I think, let's say it right, did kill many, many civilians. I also think that's true in terms of Yemen. I think that approach was being carried out in that protracted period after the attacks that had involved al-Qaeda and other groups, attacks that continue to this day, but it was the wrong way to approach it. I also have qualms with Obama in another respect, that he didn't protect civilians in Syria when they were being, hundreds of thousands were killed, millions displaced by the Assad regime and its allies, such as Russia. I have qualms with him not defending Ukraine against Russia's attempts to break up the country from 2014. But that said, that's just part of the record. In terms of what he did in my native country, in the United States, he was a decent man. He was a good man who tried to make a difference. I think what he did with healthcare will be a legacy and a tribute to him, despite the Trump administration's attempt to unravel it. I think his attempts to deal with long-standing issues of discrimination, long-standing issues of violence, are to be credited. He helped bring the United States out of the great financial crash. And he did that on a global scale, working with others as well.
But on balance, is that enough, Scott, do you think, to give him this particular accolade?
I personally, and I'm going to say this, yes. I'm going to say that this accolade doesn't go to someone who is perfect. This accolade doesn't go to someone who necessarily always did the right thing. But I think, speaking of Obama in the wider sense, because I also include his wife, Michelle Obama, in this, they tried to bring a decency and a tolerance and a respect to politics after an extremely difficult period during the years of the Bush administration and before the current extremely difficult period that we face now. I can remember in 2009 watching that inauguration as a native of Alabama, and you can imagine what it was like growing up there to see something I thought I would never see in my lifetime, which is a black man become president of the United States. And despite all the abuse that he took, despite all the degradation that people attempted even then before the rise of social media, he did try to make a difference, a positive difference. Did he fail? Sometimes, yes. But I think making the effort is something that should be credited.
Find a politician that succeeded at everything. Jim Roach, if we just look at the citation that goes a little bit towards what Scott is saying, he's being awarded the freedom of the city for moderating and progressive influence on the world stage. His wife, for her work in the education of girls around the world on behalf of refugees. I know you're seeing the negative. Could you not see some of the positive? Because let's face it, he's not the worst politician that the globe has seen.
Well, look, he's certainly not the worst U.S. president, and I acknowledge the positive, some of the positive things he did in America itself. And look, there was a ray of hope when he got elected. There's no question about it, both in America and across the world. But you have to look at the... I acknowledge, for example, his work on universal Medicare in the U.S., etc., that Scott has referred to there. But you have to look at the... You have to fact-check this, right? You know, he in terms of foreign policy, I mean, maybe a good thing to do would be for the Lord Mayor of Dublin to ask the people of Afghanistan and Pakistan, should he get this award, or the people.
But is there any global politician who won't have made a mistake or made a policy that is going to offend somebody, Jim? I'm just trying to pick out if you were to award the freedom of Dublin to anyone right now, any global leader right now, by the sounds of your criteria, you're going to struggle to find a single one.
Yeah, well, I certainly don't think we should be making such awards to global leaders who commit, you know, what are essentially war crimes. And
no politician should get the freedom of Dublin. Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily. I mean, I'd have to go and check. But perhaps there are lots of countries, for example, that are currently supporting the people of Palestine in terms of the horrific genocide that's been committed against, which is supported by America. And while Obama has said better things than Biden on this, I don't believe he's come out totally and called it a genocide and called for it to stop. I mean, again, his record on Israel is not good. He was the one that increased the aid to Israel to $3.8 billion in 2014. He oversaw the horrific war in 2014 on Gaza, you know, constantly rearming Israel.
I'm just going to throw this out to you, Jim. Are you saying all American politicians are bad, so we shouldn't be honouring any of them? Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily, but...
Name one that you think is worthy.
I think the incoming mayor of New York sounds quite interesting to me. He might be worthy of an award at some point. So right. Someone who wants to stop wars, for example.
And we hadn't heard about him until a couple of weeks ago. Scott Lucas, just to finish up with you, isn't this the challenge that America is always going to face? Because when it comes to their foreign policy, they will have stuck with old alliances that occasionally will come back to tarnish them. And a classic example of that is what happened in Afghanistan, and what's happening in Israel right now.
I think there's a fundamental challenge, which is that... our tendency is always to start with America caused this, America caused this. And then the starting point is that there are a lot of conflicts that start from the ground up. If we're talking about what happened with Israel and Gaza right now, Barack Obama did try to get that two-state solution in 2009 between Israel and Palestine. He was undercut by Benjamin Netanyahu, who was around even then, and by people in his own administration. He did try to get a better Middle East in terms of trying to get cooperation, in terms of trying to get advance. He did try to, in effect, defuse a lot of conflicts. But the problem is that from the Assad regime to Vladimir Putin to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, you faced people that were willing to create their own destruction, just as al-Qaeda had done. He tried to respond to that in different ways overseas, and I think some of those were flawed. But let me return this back to America. If you were to ask me now, would I want to go back in 2009 and get that hope and change and that prospect of an America where dialogue was there instead of division, Absolutely. I'd go back there now.
Okay. Scott Lucas of the Clinton Institute at UCD, Jim Roach of the Irish Against War Movement, thank you very much for joining us on News Talk Breakfast. Do you think the Obamas are deserving of the freedom of Dublin? Let us know what you think. 087 1400 106 through WhatsApp.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.